Okay, so what I'm going to do is just have you talk. I'm going to be testing the volume levels of this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to just talk about like what you have for lunch or...
Okay, I went home for lunch and I had some leftovers from yesterday. Is that good?
What were they?
I had some shrimp and scallops. We went to the beach this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. Okay. All right, this is looking good. So we can go ahead and get started.
Okay.
Okay, I'll introduce myself. This is Maddie Kameny. It is June 25th, 2018. Mm-hmm. I'm at Commonwealth Health in Dunn, North Carolina. And I'm here with...
Tammy Blackman.
All right. So Tammy, what they told me is that I was going to be interviewing the person who's been here the very longest.
There are two people that have been here longer than me, but I'm third. Yes.
So how long have you been here?
August 13th will be 30 years.
Wow. So can you talk a little bit about what the clinic was like then?
In the beginning, we saw a lot of migrant farm workers, community folks and migrant farm workers. But my favorite part was the migrant farm workers, you know, because you truly made a difference in somebody's life that, you know, that might be the first time they ever came to the doctor. So that was my favorite. That's my favorite years of all of these. Now it's, you know, most people have settled out.
Mm-hmm.
So we really don't have that many farm workers in the community anymore. So, you know, it's a good place to be, but that was my favorite kind of health care.
So you feel like the population has kind of changed?
Yes, it's changed tremendously.
Mm-hmm. So what was your role then, and then what is it now?
Actually, I came to work here as the RT, the x-ray tech. I still do x-rays, but I do a lot of... overseeing a lot of lab stuff. So anywhere from our clinic in McGee's to Shallotte, I answer lab questions all day long, put out fires. Yeah, plus
so
I still do x-ray.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you work at multiple locations?
Sometimes I do, not that often, but I'm in communication with all the sites, you know, many times a day.
Did you grow up around here?
I did. I grew up in Newton Grove, which is about 8 miles from here, so not far at all.
How was that back then versus now? We just drove through it for a minute.
Yeah. It's probably not changed as much as some places because it's still very, you know, there's not many places to eat, many places to shop. They're very slow to, they don't want it to change into a fast-paced town. You know, it's the community leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good place to live, good place to raise children.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So you grew up here.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, right down the road.
Wow. So can you tell me about your childhood?
Yes. I actually had one sister. She passed away last year. But I grew up in the country early years, and then we moved to the big town of Newton Grove. You know, how big is the big town? But we lived there in right off the circle. I have three daughters, and they're 25, 24, and 20, and they're all doing well. Youngest is at UNCW, the middle is a nurse here, and the oldest is a dental assistant, kind of doing her own thing right now. But
what about your parents?
My parents, my dad farmed early on, and then they sold insurance. So, you know, I had a good childhood. My mama was always home when I got home from school, and that was a good thing, you know. Had that nurturing family structure.
Okay, we're back. And so you were talking about your parents.
Yes, my parents. Very strong in church, very strong Christian upbringing. You know, you better be in church on Sunday or you're not going anywhere on Sunday afternoon. You know, but that was a good thing. Yeah, I don't have a very big family. My dad had three sisters, the only boy, so he was spoiled. My mom had two brothers and one sister. One has passed away, as well as my mom and my dad. They're both passed away. But good parents, good role models to grow up with.
Yeah. Did you grow up around your grandparents also?
I did. My granny, she was my favorite of all because she was very patient. She taught me how to cook and... She's a little sarcastic. Yeah, she was me. Yeah, I would like to have lived in those days. I would have been the good chocolate chip cookie maker, you know, for my kids to come home to. But life kind of makes you work. Yeah.
Do you remember, like, do you have any memories of getting sick, like, and your parents or your grandparents, what they would do?
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that recently. I had a bout with bronchitis. I have asthma. And my granny would make these mustard plaster things out of dry mustard and a piece of cloth and put it on your chest. And I actually looked on Pinterest to find that recipe. I never made me one. But, you know, things like that. So much better than modern medicine, I think.
Yeah. So you have memories of getting that mustard,
mm-hmm.
mustard plaster.
It was called a mustard plaster. Oh. And it's actually on Pinterest how to make it.
Oh, wow.
So it would kind of burn, but it would kind of open you up. I should have tried it when I was sick. I probably would have gotten better quicker.
So would they take you to the doctor?
Oh, yeah, we went to the doctor. I used to have headaches, and I had to go get, I remember the medicine. It was orange, and it was, like, chunky, and it was absolutely disgusting. So I remember that. I had a lot of sore throats. But, you know, we went to the doctor like we needed to. Probably not as much as kids go now.
Yeah. So do you work with directly? You work directly with patients now?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite part. Yeah. I don't like the computer part or the paperwork. Just give me people.
Yeah.
And the Latino population, I love them. You know, they're very strong family-oriented. When you have the mama come, you might have five adult children, you know, but that's good. They're supporting their grandma or whatever.
Did you already kind of know about that community when you first
No. Started? Actually, growing up here, there was very little Latino population here.
So how does that kind of learning about?
To learn the culture, it probably takes you a little while, you know. And we have a lot of culture sensitivity kind of programs here and such, but you learn you don't look at a baby and not touch them, you know. That's very offensive. And it's not for everybody. It all depends on where they came from. But just the family values are very different than the world is now, you know. Nobody goes with you to the doctor. You go and you hurry up and you go into the next thing.
Right. I'm curious about kind of your experiences. I mean, you said you did go to the doctor when you were little, and I don't know about your experiences sort of as an adult with doctors. If you've had any kind of positive or negative experiences with healthcare providers.
I think, honestly, working in healthcare as long as I have, you're a little more questioning. You know, you're like, yeah, right, sure, I'll do that. So I think medical people in general, we don't go to the doctor as much. We try to take care of things ourselves. You know, we're very anti-smoking. My fiance smokes, and I'm like, really? You know, that's job security, because eventually something will happen, you know, if you choose that lifestyle. But we don't respect the opinion as much as people who don't know. We kind of make our own way, you know. We figure out our own thing.
So is that what you tend to do when you're not feeling well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Figure it out, you know. Time helps most things. So I think as medical people, something has to hurt a really long time before you'll, like, say, I might need to go to the doctor. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're probably bad patients. In general.
You're surrounded by it all the time, so you're like,
exactly.
Not tired of it.
Yeah, well, what's even worse is when you're here and then when you hear somebody in the family or whatever, oh, what do you think's wrong? I'm like, not anymore. I've spent all day dealing with that. But, you know, I'm just playing. But you just, when you get away from it, you don't exactly want to hear all that.
Right. So how did you start getting into healthcare? Like, what made you decide to start working in healthcare?
I decided to go to x-ray school. Probably because of career day at high school. This guy's like, oh, this is really hard to get into. And even harder to stay in. I don't know. Just somehow I got a challenge. It's not like I grew up wanting to be an x-ray tech. Actually, I wanted to be a teacher. And the more I thought about that, I'm like, yeah. So I use my love of teaching. I've trained people to do x-ray. You know, I help them in the lab to learn this and learn that. So I've kind of had the best of both worlds. But my personality type is to help people, you know, especially the black sheeps, the underserved. That's who I am.
Where do you think that came from?
I don't know. It's kind of a ministry in itself. You know, you get a lot out of helping people who truly need people. On certain days of the week, we have our EIP patients. Lisa's probably told you all about that. But our HIV population, you know, we have 2 days that we see many, many. And, you know, I'll kind of roll out the red carpet because the world doesn't. So I enjoy those patients.
Yeah, definitely. Well, in your own family, you were talking a little bit about your experience with healthcare, but I'm curious if you've experienced like sickness or healthcare in your own family.
My mom was in skilled care for about 2 years. She had she had really bad arthritis. I think some of her problems started with some statin drugs. You've heard the things that can happen, like muscle wasting and stuff. So that really took a toll on her. And she was in skilled care for a long time. She had gotten where she would fall a lot. She had shoulder surgery, so she went to rehab, you know, after that. And then it really never worked for her to come back home because she couldn't take care of herself. And, you know, we would do the best we can, but to take care of her 24/7, she needed to be somewhere. Not the nursing home, because that would have been the end of her. She hated those words. But she was in skilled care, which is kind of equivalent to that, but not exactly the same. And she passed away there, but she had been sick for a long time. My dad had a lot of cardiac issues. He actually had flash pulmonary edema, where your chest would just fill up with fluid. You know, if your heart's not working right, your lungs don't work right, kind of thing. And he had that happen to him, I think, 3 separate times. And then he was doing great. You know, he was the gardener, doing all the fun stuff outside. And he just, one Monday morning, he didn't wake up. My mom said, oh, he was sleeping good. I could hear him breathing really deep. And I'm a CPR instructor. I mean, that the sounds that he was making was the sounds of a heart attack. So, yeah, but he died peacefully. So,
yeah. And he gone to the doctor and didn't know what was...
I mean, they... coming, well, we knew what was going on. You know, he was on all the medications and things, but yeah. It's only so much you can do for that, I guess.
That must have been hard.
Oh, yeah. I was daddy's little girl.
Yeah. Do diseases, like, run in your family, or did it...
Not particularly. Mm-mm. It kind of started on him in 1998, and he passed away in 2002. So he had a lot of highs and lows during that time, but right before he passed away, he was doing great. So, you know, he had a lot of time after all that.
Yeah. And so for your own kids, when you were raising them, What about when they got sick?
When they got sick, most of the time I would bring them here because, you know, I trusted these people. But they never... 2 of them had... all 3 of them had tubes in their ears. 2 the very same day, though. Had lots of ear infections despite being... breastfed, no one smoking around them, you know, all the things you can do to make it not happen. But it's anatomically, you know, created too. So they had that. Pretty much they were healthy kids, though.
That's crazy that you brought them here and now.
Oh, yeah, what pediatrician here, I would, you know, it's not who's here now, but I knew she would take care of them. So.
Do you think it was good for them to... like go to the same person all the time?
Did oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How was she? Do you remember her as a doctor?
Oh yeah, actually it was a man part of the time, Dr. Torres. He was my favorite. And, you know, he knew them completely. You could look at them and tell when they didn't feel good. So, but I was not that mom who wanted them on medicine all the time either. Right. You know, so it worked.
What do you feel is important for, like, important qualities for a provider?
To be able to get on the patient's level, you know, not try to be all above, you know, listen to the patient, fully understand them, be respectful of their culture is a huge thing. We have very good providers here as far as, you know, being able to communicate to all kinds of patients. We have all kinds of patients. And that's important, to be able to communicate in a way that they understand and they feel like they're getting what they need.
Yeah, it seems like Commonwealth Health does a really good job of that.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. So, and when you started here, it was just the one building, right?
Oh, yeah. It was one little building. It was on these same grounds, but it's grown a lot.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Look, we could talk more about your childhood if you want.
It was kind of the tomboy. I liked my motorcycle. I loved animals. I actually, when I was really young, I wanted to be a vet. Then I thought, that's a long time to go to school. And you have to deal with big animals, not just little ones. I almost took a job at the NC State Vet School. This is before I had kids. And that was so, I should have taken it. I just didn't want to drive. Yeah, it was while I was here. But I got it. I got the job. It was just the fact of, I knew I wanted children. It was very early when I was married. And I couldn't imagine being in a room with a big horse, you know, so.
Yeah, that's true. So you wanted to be a vet.
That, then a teacher, then an x-ray tech. And I don't even have any animals now. My daughter has a cat named Archibald. When she comes home from school, she brings Archibald. He has no personality. All he does is shed.
Did you grow up around animals?
Because
I know you said
I did. Many pictures of me. I'm in the dog pen with them. With a dirty face. And yeah, I always had me a puppy or something. Yeah.
Did you play outside a lot?
I did. Yeah. I did. I liked my little mini bike. I was a fat kid. I guess I ate Snicker bars while I was riding on the mini bike. But it, you know, it was good growing up. We lived in the country for the most part when I was young, so we had all kinds of places to ramble and stuff.
That's nice. What are your best memories of your parents?
My best memories of the things that they taught me. My dad said, never let any grass grow under your feet, meaning if something's wrong, keep moving. Learn to stand on your own two feet. You know, very good stuff. My dad actually made me write can't on a piece of paper. You'll like this story. And we dug a hole and I buried it, because you can do anything.
Sounds like he was very
fun. Oh yeah, he was. Even back in the day, his favorite books were like Dale Carnegie. What were some of the books? About being a winner and not being the 5%, not being the 95%, or be the 5%. My mom was just sweet. My mom was very humble and she wasn't exactly a yes person. She was spunky, but she was the peacemaker too. Because my sister and I used to fight all the time. Yeah, she's 8 years older, totally different than me. So, yeah, that was not the best memories of her, but I wish I'd have had a big family. So it's a little different.
Yeah, I actually have some other questions for you, but I left that piece of paper. Do you mind if I run and get it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right, we are back. So I'm sorry, where did I interrupt you?
Parents.
Parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know anything else about your parents. I have other questions I can move on to.
Just we had dinner together every night. That kind of family. Yeah. So did my kids and myself and their dad. Yeah. Makes a difference.
Sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I think it's important for children to, that's their time to tell about their day. Now they're all gone, so.
Do you think you took anything else from your parents and used that when you were?
I'm sure. I'm a very positive person. I can always see the half full glass instead of the half empty glass. I'm nurturing like my mom, maybe not quite as sweet. You know, she was more, oh, okay. But
you're like your grandma, right?
I think I'm my grandma. My grandma was stern but sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't care if I messed up the kitchen when we were cooking too. You know, my mom would get in there and kind of do what she had to do, and she was out. But my granny would let me do whatever. Yeah. Something about grandmas. Now I'm a grandma, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that? Do you get to see your grandkids a lot?
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. I get to see two of them almost daily. The third one I don't see as much, but I love them all.
That's great. What about yourself today? Like, can you tell about your daily routine?
I love the beach. You can tell I went this weekend and was out there longer than I needed to be. I stayed out like I used to stay out when we were there all the time. And, yeah, much sunscreen later. Yeah, more freckles. But I take my little grandson to his little day school. This summer he's going to a camp that they do different stuff every day. Just a day. You know, he goes 3 days a week. And then he stays with family other times. I have a fiance. We were actually high school prom dates. Yeah. Marriage for both of us, kids, and then around the world. So that's kind of interesting. It is. You know, you never know what life has in store. And that's been a good thing. We all do well. My kids love him. He has a daughter. And, you know, we all work well together.
When did you get engaged?
At Christmas this past year.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's so exciting.
It is. It's exciting and it's kind of scary at the same time. You know, I'm smarter than I used to be. So I have to make sure it's right.
Are you planning a big wedding or a small
wedding? A small wedding. Yeah. Mm. Been there, done that.
Courthouse?
A little more upscale than that, probably. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Nice honeymoon. And I'm sure we'll have a big party for all of our friends. He has actually a bigger social circle of friends than I do. Because mine are more quiet. You know, I'm much more laid back than he is. But it works.
Do you still know anyone who you grew up with?
I do. My best friend from 7th grade. We communicate. She's probably text me today. You know, we don't see each other often, but I remember the first day we went to 7th grade together. She had these big old glasses. But we just formed a friendship that has lasted forever. And a few other people. I even have some patients that, you know, went to high school with.
Wow.
So it's nice to keep in touch with the ones you want to keep in touch with. Facebook, you know, you can keep up with anybody there. If it wasn't for Facebook, I guess I wouldn't know half of what's going on. It's kind of habit forming too, but, you know, that way you know.
Yeah. So your best friend, what's her name?
Cynthia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So did you, were you like away for some time and then you both came back, or did you?
We have remained some, you know, in touch the whole time, but we're closer now than we probably were for a few years. And we can see each other and catch back up like we never were apart.
Yeah, now you get to text.
That's right.
What does being healthy mean to you?
Being healthy is to exercise and to eat correctly and to drink lots of water and to do all the things that I know to do that I probably don't always do like I should. Yeah, remain a healthy weight. I've kind of let that get out of control, working on that a little bit. But I would rather prevent things than fix things. That's like I said about the smoking. You know, sooner or later, if you do all those things, it's going to catch up with you. I don't want to be caught up with. I mean, things will happen anyway, but I try to do the things right. That's best.
Yeah. Is that something that you talk to patients about?
I do. And, you know, I love the stories of, oh, I've lost 20 pounds because I've been eating fruit and vegetables a lot more. I love my patients. I know a lot about, you know, many of them, especially the Dr. Shimakoa's patients. You know, and it makes them feel good, too, if you remember that they had a dog or they own a zoo. You know, I have one patient that said, please come to my zoo. I've never been there, but I need to. Yeah, kind of cute, I'm sure.
Yeah, like it makes them feel like right. Connected.
If you have a conversation with the patient when you're drawing their blood, it makes it go a whole lot smoother.
What would you say are some of the health problems that you see in this community?
Well, you see a lot of diabetes, obesity, just the lack of knowledge about what to eat and what to do.
What do you think we can do about that?
Encourage them all we can and actually take the time to, you know, to explain what your BMI is and how that matters. And it's hard because providers are so rushed. So, you know, that's probably not addressed as much as they would like to sometimes.
What gives you hope about this community? Do you think that there's assets that we can use to kind of improve those?
Yes, just communication and information and getting their lab results to them as quick as you can and having a follow-up conversation. You know, these are the things you need to do. And I think we used to not give patients the benefit of the doubt of them following up, you know, taking care of things. You just assumed that they wouldn't. But you have, you know, there's many people that if you tell them, they'll listen. Some you can tell them all day and they never will.
How do you think healthcare has changed in this community? You can either talk about this community or this clinic, or you can talk about, like, on a larger scale.
Healthcare over time, it's much more about just giving somebody a pill to take for a problem, you know, instead of the healthy alternatives. And some people love that. We have one doctor, and he's all about that. You know, I love talking to him because he'll just tell you all these things that you can do to prevent this or fix that, whatever. But I believe in that. You know, I believe everything doesn't have to come from a pharmacy. It's kind of overrated.
Do you think, is that something that you've seen personally change over the years too?
I believe that, yes. You know, I think it all depends on the age group you are. Like with my mom, you know, when she passed away, she was 78 years old, and she was on a lot of medication. But you can't tell somebody that age, because there wasn't always fixes to things in her lifetime. So she wouldn't have much to, she didn't listen much when you tried to talk to her about that. And my niece is actually the pharmacist here. So my mom raised her. You know, she lived with my mom and dad from when she was 2. But she didn't want to hear about it. You know, that doctor told me to take that medicine. That's what I'm going to do kind of stuff.
Do you remember any, like, home remedies or anything that you're...
My grandmother, along with the mustard plaster thing, she used to get a long Q-tip and paint your throat with, I think it was methylene. It was red something. Methylate. Methylate, I think.
No wonder.
Yeah.
So for sore throat?
Mm-hmm. And it'd make you better, too.
Huh.
Maybe that's where I got my love of home stuff, right? Breathing in steam if you've got a sinus congestion or something. It works.
Do you think that things in this clinic have changed since in more recent history, like since the ACA?
We see a different population. You know, we see a lot more community-based people. And, you know, a lot of people that live right down the street back in the day that, you know, oh, I'm not going there. But when you walk in the doors of this place, you realize we got a lot going on here.
Why didn't they want to come here?
Well, it was the migrant clinic.
Oh.
It was the whole, you know, feel like it never was just that. But, you know, we do see more Latino patients than anything else. They'd rather come here because most of us speak some degree of Spanish. So,
do you find that it seems like once people start coming, they kind of form a relationship?
Right. They realize when they walk in those doors that it's not at all what they thought it was. And it's prettier here now, too. You know, we have someone that puts the little pretty pictures and kind of got rid of the bus station feel, you know. So
that makes a difference.
It does. It's more welcoming.
Have you ever had a time when you had to take care of somebody else who was sick besides every day at your job?
Yeah. My parents, my mom had to have, she had MRSA in her leg and had to do the infusion pump every day with her, twice a day, I think it was. And that's kind of different. You know, you don't mind ever doing that, but it's hard seeing your parents get older. But I was glad I had the knowledge to do that, too. Mm-hmm. That's really it. My grandpa, he died when he was 94. And he was playing basketball until a couple years before he passed away. Fell and broke his hip, not playing basketball. Fell and broke his hip and had to go to the nursing home, and he passed away with sepsis. I mean, this was not right then. But he was something, too. He, very church-going man, talked 10,000 miles a minute. But he was cool. Everybody loved my granddaddy. He went to all the ball games and stuff. When my granny passed away, I was sure he would just wither. And I think that man was so happy. I mean, not that she died, but he could do what he wanted to do. And she was kind of bossy, a lot like my granny.
Did you have a support system when you were having to take care of your parents?
Yeah, pretty much. My kids were teenagers. And my ex-husband, he was there pretty much for all that. But still, it's hard. You know, to see somebody you love not be their self.
Yeah. What about, do you do anything? I mean, I imagine when you get home at the end of the day, you kind of have to decompress. Like, do you do anything to sort of free up your mind and relax?
I used to go to the gym a lot, but that's not true anymore, but that's important. I like to go to church, and I used to go to these meetings, Living on the Edge, you know, which is good. Everybody's living on the edge about something. I really wasn't going just for myself, but a family member. And that's good stuff.
You what know, is living on the
it's,
edge?
It's just about addictions and problems, you know. No, I've never had addictions myself, but I have a family member that's struggled with all that. And, it, you know, it kind of puts things in perspective. It doesn't always have to be like it is right now kind of stuff.
So you went as like a supporter
yes.
for that person?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that group helped that person?
As much as you want it to. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to want to listen too. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. I enjoyed it myself. I kind of feed off of things like that when times are crazy.
How many people was it?
In that particular group, it was probably 20, 25. And I love to go to the beach, watching the waves. That's my, yeah, anything is so much better when you're sitting there at the beach. That's kind of my therapy for myself, I think.
Yeah. So who do you talk to when you feel like you need help with a situation or with illness or anything?
It all depends on what the situation is, I guess. Talk to my fiancé, my middle daughter. Co-workers, you know, we have a very close group of co-workers here. Kind of each other's therapists sometimes, I guess you'd say.
Have most people been here a really long time?
Not as long as me, but you have some, you know, some that have. Mm. There's kind of a gap there. You have 30 years and then you have like 15, 18.
See, I don't know. You talked a little bit about being with doctors and what makes a good doctor. Mm-hmm. Can you remember any situation where you thought that a doctor was especially good or bad and what you did about it?
I just don't like it when they don't give them time to explain themselves. You know, be quiet and listen for a minute. I think that makes the most difference. And that same doctor I was talking about earlier, Dr. Torres, he said it's not what you know, but it's how you present yourself to somebody. You know, don't rush. You know, listen to what they're saying and then go, but don't just walk in and like you're in a hurry. But they have to kind of be in a hurry too, because you know, they got a lot of patients to see and not a lot of time allotted.
What about you personally when you've gone to the doctor?
I kind of have my list of questions in my brain, and you know, I don't waste your time, you don't waste mine, so kind of cut to the chase.
Do you think that any of your own experiences with healthcare have affected how you interact with patients?
I'm sure it has. I remember going to the doctor with one of my children, And he walked in, and, you know, his body language was just reeking of, I don't have time for you. So you kind of always just sit back and give him a minute to talk. I was in the lab earlier, and this guy that's been a patient here forever was telling me about his brother-in-law and some things that were going on with him. You know, I was very busy, but I just kind of sat back and just gave him a few minutes to talk. Sometimes that's all people need. Just that listening ear means a lot.
Yeah, they might not have talked to anyone.
Exactly. And we might be the only time they've ever been to the doctor. You know, a lot of times our patients tend to have a problem for a long time, kind of like us as healthcare workers. But, you know, if you are going to miss a day of work and you're not getting paid for that, you're going to make sure that you go when you have to and not unnecessarily.
Do you think that that's a struggle that your patients have?
Oh, absolutely.
Work and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Historically, when it would rain, you know, you knew that was going to be a really busy day because of farm workers. They can't work in the rain. But you don't see as much of that now. You know, a lot of our patients have settled out. They're construction workers, fast food workers, such as that.
And you don't have walk-ins anymore, or do you?
We do.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Let's see. What would you do? So if you had like a magic wand and you could change the healthcare system, what's one thing you would change?
The affordability for patients. You know, like my daughter that is at the urologist, or she's gone now, that was her I talked to. Her first kidney stone was 2 days before her new health insurance went into effect. Had to have, you know, ER visits, CT, then you have the radiology interpretation fee. I mean, it was like $10,000 for that stuff. She was smart though, because she joined COBRA from her previous employer for the insurance for that month. And, you know, it paid for most of it. That was smart though. I didn't realize with COBRA that you could skip months and just pick that particular one, but she figured that out. But, you know, people hesitate to go get taken care of knowing they're going to get such crazy bills. And a lot of times if you look at the bills, there's stuff on there that makes no sense either.
Yeah.
So you have to be mindful.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think some patients have like issues that they would prefer not to talk about with providers, and issues that they are more comfortable talking about?
If it's a situation of abuse, you know, or addictions, they're going to tell you just enough. But a lot of times, I work in triage. I help triage the patients sometimes too. And that story can change so much from the nurse to the doctor. You know, sometimes it's a totally different something, especially guys. You know, if they have an STD or something, they're not going to tell the pretty little young nurse out there. They're going to wait till they get in there and know they have to. But it's making them feel comfortable. Sometimes patients will tell me things in x-ray because it's dark, it's kind of quiet, and just that whole feel of the room. You know, sometimes they're more open about things than they would be anywhere else.
I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I would probably say more in there too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I feel like we touched on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. You know, my life in a nutshell, right? I could write a book.
Yeah, you should. I mean, we'll have this as a transcript.
It'll lead up to my book, right?
Yeah, your memoir.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I missed anything. I guess just, like, attitudes about healthcare that you feel like were maybe passed down from your parents. I mean, you touched on this a little bit.
Right. I think just taking good care of yourself and eating right. You know, my parents kind of did more of that when they got older and sicker, but, you know, I think even in those days, they were really mindful of, you don't go to McDonald's every day, and, you know, eating food out of the garden. You know, we did a lot of that. I think that's what's happened to a lot of people. The dollar menu is the cheapest thing of all.
Do you think that's happened in this community?
Oh, absolutely. You know, kids especially. There's so many obese children. My little granddaughter is, but she's 8 months old and she's breastfed. So, you know, the fat baby rolls. That's a good thing when you're 8 months old. But, yeah.
I didn't ask you about your experience with school, if you have any time.
Mm-hmm. School here, as in the lower school or college or
both?
I think when I went to school, it was very different than now. Now it's all about preparing you for the end of grade testing, and for those reasons, I'm glad I was not a teacher. You know, because the parents, oh, my child would never do that kind of stuff, and you know that happens many times. And just the whole EOG thing. College, I wish I had gone to college longer. I should have gone and done some specialty or whatever. But I don't know if I would have ever found my niche any more than what I do right here. I love what I do, and I love my patients. So, you know, it's kind of a testimony in itself.
So you went to college locally?
Yes, I went to Johnson Community. Mm-hmm.
What was school like when you were younger here?
I think much more laid back, not nearly as strict as it is now, because they have to be. I mean, kids are bringing drugs and guns to school. You know, that didn't happen when I was in school. Maybe it did, but I didn't know about it.
Did you have a big classroom?
Our graduating class was like 120, so no, not really.
Was it like the same people from?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll end on a positive note. Mm-hmm. What makes the day worthwhile for you?
The day worthwhile is that patient that says, you did a great job, or how long have you been here? I remember you. A lady the other day asked me, she said, have you lost weight or gained weight? What's different about you? And I thought, oh, well, I've gained a few pounds, but not really. She said, I think it's your hair. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's my hair. Because my hair is usually really, really short and spiky, like, I guess a cutesy haircut. But we ride motorcycles a lot, and I like to ride the Harley, but I don't like to have horrible helmet head. So I grew my hair, and now I can pull it up. But I hadn't even talked about that part. I don't have my own. I don't want my own, but my fiance has a Harley. And we have a big group of friends that we ride with and stuff. That's fun.
That's great, just around these.
Yeah, we go, you know, Myrtle Beach Bike Week. That's interesting. And just a Sunday afternoon to wherever, somewhere to eat dinner or whatever.
That's great.
Bar hop here and there. That's probably not the good part of it. But we have fun. You know, that's kind of freedom. It's been especially good for my fiance because he has a 10-year-old daughter, and he spent his entire life with her doing everything she wanted to do, and now he actually does some things he wants to do. You know, we need to all do that.
Yeah, that's great. Anything else,
Tim? I don't think so. Told you my whole life history.
Yeah.
Told you I could write a book, though.
Yeah.
Probably kept out some of the juiciest details.
We should do a part two.
Oh. In a couple years, see how all this works out, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm really glad I got to speak with you.
Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you.
What is your major?